Good morning. Today is Thursday, June the 7th. Joining us this morning is the undeniable sheriff of Humboldt County.
Yep, no one can take it back now.
Yeah.
So thank you, Brian.
Unless by brute force.
Yes. Oh, happy the election is over.
I would suspect so. Notice yeah. Another little quasi legal term there.
Yes.
Suspect. Versus suspect.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. So very happy, you know, winning the one-person race has probably been the biggest accomplishment of my life. So I'm very, very happy.
Well, you know, that two-vote difference there really kind of paid out.
I'm telling you, you know, it pays to respect your parents because I got them to vote for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, but your bride abstained. I don't know about that one, man.
Exactly. She was a write-in candidate. She's like, I don't know about this.
Oh, my. So with that out of your hair, you got a budget year coming up.
Yes.
Do you get to play with the numbers, or is that something you've delegated to others?
No, we do. It's something that we've been working on. I'm lucky you got a great CFO at the sheriff's office, and so we push out our managers what they want. We want to push a 3 to 5 year plan to really maximize our budgets and to make sure that we have some short term planning, long term planning, and that's really, really essential in some of the bigger ticket items that we have coming up.
You mean like jail expansion?
Jail expansion, yes. There's always equipment needs. We are also working at, a lot of the budget next year, the next couple of years, is going to go to ADA fixes. So we've been slowly fixing
even
ADA issues.
Guys?
Even for us.
Now, you don't have too many sidewalks that are in your jurisdiction.
We don't.
Well, what is ADA defined as for the sheriff?
Yeah. So, you know, a couple things. Our substation in Garberville is not ADA compliant. So we have to actually demolish our substation in Garberville. And so we have a master plan working with the county. We are going to be moving to the library site and we are going to reconfigure that site. Our supervisor down there has an office. So we're going to bring in 3 modulars and it'll be a temporary home for the sheriff's office, the library, and supervisor Fennell. And to have that location there for 3 to 5 years, there's going to be a master plan to demo some of the county buildings down in Garberville and to establish a government center, which will include all those entities and Department of Health and Human Services, and to try and maximize the space in one area so people can come in and get whatever county services that they were, you know, need to get.
So should Garberville and Southern Humboldt be as excited when they see what happened to McKinleyville when that happened?
Well, they already have the services there, so that's, you know, they're already doing services in Southern Humboldt, so I don't think you're going to see a break in the services at all.
3 to 5 years to build a building?
Well, it's coming up with a plan. You know, nothing goes quickly in government.
You can't just like get one of those warehouse things that they talk about, you know, 25,000.
Steel building.
Boom, drop in some partitions and
knock
it out?
Yeah, can't do that. So in government, no, you can't do that. And we want something that's going to last and something's going to work for way into the future. But
does that come from your budget, though, or does that come from the county?
So the county... Yeah, it's a good question. County has actually ADA money set aside, and every department is actually putting in some money towards the fund and has some kind of investment in it. But the county is picking up, you know, most of it. And but there's inconveniences and, but we're going to get a really, really good building out of this. It's going to be probably a little bit bigger than what we have now in Garberville, and the county's really... ask for our input to, you know, solicit everything we possibly need, because in reality, I mean, it could be longer than 5 years by the time something rolls around. I mean, we look at this jail expansion and we got to approve the money in what, 2014, 2015. Here it is 2018 and we still haven't broken ground yet. So there's a lot of
issues. So you're saying you might be campaigning yet again.
I may be campaigning out of and there may be a Garberville substation that we're in a temporary building. So,
you going to put in any holding cells or anything so that you don't have to do the sprint if there's an event?
Well, this is the problem, is that we cannot put temporary holding cells in unless they are are compliant with the Board of State Community Corrections. So they have to sign off on any temporary holding cell. And so there's a lot of restrictions that come with that. So we have a holding facility in Garberville right now, but it's only grandfathered in. If we build a new facility, we have to put in a whole lot of things that are going to cost a whole lot of money. So unfortunately, we can't do that anymore. We can't put, it's just cost prohibitive to put any kind of holding cells outside of our county jail because of the severe restriction.
From the new building to where it is now?
Yeah, nope, can't do it. Huh? But our goal is, I mean, once we get to full staffing, is to have a transportation officer out of the jail that goes and meets people in Southern Humboldt, meets people in Eastern Humboldt, and so they're, so we can cut down on that travel time.
So you got the shuttle van, so to speak.
It is, and that would be ideal.
I wonder if the state's got one of those big green buses that are kind of furloughed.
We could fill them, and if they want to take them to state prison, we can fill them pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any movement on that at all to get the bad guys back in the bad guy prison?
No, there really isn't. And you know what? The state doesn't have a plan to build more prisons. And the fact is our
which means more push down.
It's a trickle down. Absolutely. Our jail is at capacity. So we have a 417 bed cap that the state puts a cap on us. Okay. And so 417, we're at 405 today, and it's an issue. So, and we're having a lot of overcrowding issues at the jail. So we need more people to go to state prison instead of more people being housed here.
KINS news and information, not here at the studios over at his place. Yeah. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with incumbent. Ooh, that
nice.
Kind of makes you sound like a pro football player.
Wow, I never
incumbent quarterback.
Okay,
returning.
Okay,
Billy Hansel. I guess you must have scared everybody away. Is all I can figure.
No one's crazy enough to want the job. I think that's
well. Okay, it. There's the IQ factor
yes,
too. Yeah,
true. Yeah.
Oh, I would think, you know, with the state pushing down into the counties, and it's not just Humboldt being picked on, obviously it's everybody else, that there is a model, if it could be developed or located here, I don't know, but a model that would make it pencil out to have a couple of different prisons throughout the state where there aren't now. I mean, we got the Nasty Boys up in Pelican Bay. But to do something maybe independent of the jail that you have now and have different levels of nasty.
Yeah.
That doesn't qualify for the state, but you don't have the goofballs with the nasty guys. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
Because you know that they're going to get into it.
They do have different levels in the state prison system. You know, if you commit a lower lying offense, you are housed differently and treated differently than someone who is a gang member who's been assaultive on staff. And you know, but they just talked the other day about, you know, they had their protective custody unit. It's not even called protective custody. It's called sensitive needs unit.
Oh my. Do they prance when they walk?
SNY. So I don't know. But the fact is, these people with sensitive needs are finding out that there's just as many assaults and just as many issues with the sensitive needs unit than any other part of the prison.
So everybody's the same.
So they're getting rid of that. That was one of the things that came out.
Into one general population?
And I'm not sure how they're going to work it, but there's different phases, different prisons, and different housing units for people that you know, can get along with others. you know, that can't get along well with others. They're separated. And but the fact is, the state has to come up with a plan, because still we're sending people to state prison. They have to be able to house these people. The early release programs that the state prison has to end. I know the state is mandated to get below a certain level of their state population in prisons. But the fact is, people are still committing felonies. People are still committing.
Say that again.
So AB 109 came about because the state is mandated by the three judge panel to reduce their state prison population because of overcrowding.
So it's less bodies incarcerated,
yes,
or less bodies incarcerated as a density equation to a square footage reference.
That is it. So with the amount of beds that they have allocated in our state prison system, there are too many prisoners in our state prison system.
So let's say, poof, and now there's twice as much square footage.
Yes.
In the prisons.
Yes.
Nobody's released. Everybody gets sucked back up into the system, and
we're okay. We're okay. We're okay under the cap of the state prison system and of the three judge panel decision. We're okay because there's plenty of room. Right now there's people that are being housed out of state because our state prison system is overcrowded. And so we're paying, you know, other states to manage our prison population.
So why don't some of the more rural counties that have got landmass, you know, I
Central Valley?
Well, it could be out in the boonies too, or out in the desert. I mean, you know, take your pick, wherever it is, where there are available pieces of property, donate that. I mean, it when you build these things, obviously there's an economic shot in the arm, and you know, everything doesn't have to play out the way that it does in some communities,
right,
with these facilities. If it's maybe like a startup community,
right,
you design things appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that there might be two or three vying for this,
right,
if the state was willing to build.
Yeah, I think it has to be a plan moving forward. The state has to, you know, make the maybe unpopular decision to have a plan in place to build more prisons, because the county jails are all overcrowded. We cannot house our own people, let alone the prisoners that should be in state prison. And so it's an issue here. It's an issue
that's
become
a problem. Where are the McGuire's in the woods?
Well, I've talked to Senator.
Not in the woods,
and
the woods.
Jim Woods. You know what? Senator McGuire, I've talked to him about it, and they're receptive to it. I think they have to come up with a plan, but there's higher priorities that come up. And so I think,
is there a higher priority for you?
There isn't a higher priority for me, because I get every day, I get people that are calling the department, that are calling our board of supervisors and say, why aren't these people housed? Why aren't these people in jail? And I have to tell them, we have to do a risk assessment. Every time someone gets booked into jail, there's a risk assessment. Is this person going to reoffend? Is this person likely, if they're released, to commit more crime or to not show up to court? And
other than the drunks kind of qualify on that basis?
Yeah. Oh yeah. But then it's all about risk now. So if someone poses, you know, has committed a serious crime, but poses low risk to violate while they're out, or, you know, we believe that they will
show up to court. Or just low level crime on a regular basis.
Right. Right. Exactly. So exactly. So then they're constantly going to be released. So that's why our jail isn't filled with the public nuisance type people that should be in jail. The drunks, the serial thieves, those people should be in a county jail. Those are people that have the opportunity to be rehabilitated, to get refocused in the jail, to get support. But we're having hardcore prisoners and people that are also you know, that should be in state prison. Another thing that's a major issue too is the system that we have in our state courts. Our state courts are bogged down, and so our district attorney Maggie Fleming is having a difficult time trying to prosecute enough cases.
Maggie Fleming again.
Maggie Fleming.
You guys are kind of hanging together here, aren't you?
We are. Yeah. She's okay. Very, very good DA. So she's doing lots of good prosecutions. But the fact is that there's a bottleneck in court. So we need more courts. And the state needs to put funding into courts as well.
So Mendocino and Del Norte must really be getting hammered because they have less than we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, jeez. It's 8:30.
we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Hey, that's right. This is the first time you're legit, huh?
No. I've been legit for a long time, Ryan. Yeah. Come on. What are you talking about?
Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, American Ag Credit, and Lolita Cheese. Some of the challenges I would think that are out there have got to be self-induced, I guess. You know, you look at Humboldt County, and we certainly have been a mecca for a lot of goofiness over the years. You know, when we were both younger, I won't say better looking because I won't say that. We had Redwood Summer. Okay, and that was a big ripping deal.
Yep.
Okay, and then we had
1992, I think, right?
The demise of the timber industry to what it is today. Okay, the pulp mills have disappeared. Things that are kind of external rather than internal issues. The drug stuff, though, I would suggest is more of an internal. We've kind of done that one to ourselves. Has the aircraft carrier turned a little bit with the legalization of marijuana? Are we not seeing some of the early signs of what's going on? I know financially it's not turned into a panacea for the area, which was not really a big shocker for most of us. But on the bad guy side, are you seeing a change, even if it's just a little bit?
I think so. I think we're seeing a change. You know, we're seeing so far, this is the very beginning of the marijuana season, but we're seeing less people show up and trying to get into the business here. I'm hoping that the trimmigrants don't come because there's not going to be any jobs. And the fact is, they're not going to get paid what they've been used to getting paid over the last 3 years.
You mean like money?
Like real money. And if they want to work, it's going to be probably minimum wage. And who wants to do that for minimum wage? I don't know.
I have heard that the black market is still thriving, and if you're willing to go cross state lines, those dollars are there.
I'm sure that they're there. They're higher than what you can get in state, but the fact is that the market is flooded all over the place, so the prices are coming down. The days of selling something for, you know, $3,000 a pound back east, I think, are gone. But, you know, that's just what I'm just relying on things that are being told to me. But the fact is that the federal government, you know, still, you know, has it down as a Schedule I drug, and that they're still going after it. Last week we had McGregor Scott, local guy who now is the U.S. attorney in the Eastern District, so that's Sacramento and the Central Valley. He had a press conference, and he talked about making sure and putting more efforts into illegal marijuana grows on public lands and making sure that the resources are there and make sure that there's money there as well as a prosecution focus for the people that are growing, you know, on federal land.
So that's probably more the national forest?
National forest, absolutely. National forest, national parks, and then also general public land. There's also state land and, you know, and county parks too, that they also go after.
So is he the outlier on this, or is that something that the feds are starting to put more monies towards?
Well, the fact is that you know, with the Cole memorandum being withdrew, right, and people were really stressed out about that thing. What's going to happen? But the fact is that more authority was given to all the U.S. attorneys. And to make their decision of what they have in their district. And so McGregor Scott is putting forth effort to try and regulate illegal marijuana in California.
So who's our guy?
who's our guy?
Yeah.
Right now it's in flux, but you don't have it. We don't have someone permanently
in the U.S. Another appointee that hasn't been allowed to happen?
I think it's just a temporary right now. I don't think they have identified an appointee. We had, I forget his name, but he was there last year, and he left to go into private practice. And there's been...
that's got to be some kind of private practice if you get a bump up from that level, huh?
You know what? The fact is, these guys that are at the U.S. Attorney's Office can make way more money in the private sector than they can at doing this job. So,
I would suspect probably after you've been there for a while and have that on the old resume.
Yeah. That's it. But they also, you know, they don't make a whole lot of money. I know McGregor Scott can probably make, you know, a lot more money doing a lot of other things, but he's a great guy and he's focused on making a difference. You know, I'm just bummed that he's not on our side over here. You know, making some good decisions.
Making it happen back home.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I want to talk to him about that.
Yeah. You had a little bit of an interesting thing. I don't know. I mean, you guys were involved in the investigation. You knew we were going to talk about this, by the way. So no surprise. With the code enforcement guy.
Yeah.
Whoops. Or what happened here?
Well, it's still an ongoing investigation, okay, and it's a case that we're going to prosecute.
As much as you
can
say.
Okay, with all those disclaimers in place. So once this case started coming forward to us this late last year, so November, December, and we started getting traction with it, it was very, very real. And someone who was, you know, using their position of power to influence others and try to, you know, solicit bribes.
$100,000 seems like stealing pencils from the bank.
Right.
So was it just kind of...
This is what we know about, Brian. This is what's scary, okay?
Okay.
And so this is you know, we know about three victims right now. We believe there's more out there. And so this is part of coming out and making sure the people that are also out there to come forward, contact the sheriff's office, and help us prosecute this case. You know, we don't want anyone in government using their position of influence to try and make some self-gain out of it. And so we've been working with the planning department and John Ford up there from the very beginning to flush this out and to make sure that this guy was held accountable. And so...
Did it come out of the planning department to you guys?
It did. It did come out of the planning department to us. So they were the first ones to receive the complaint. They turned it over to us. They have their own administrative complaint, you know, as well as we have our criminal complaint. And so there's a lot of things that are going to be happening, you know, with this. But
time will tell, right?
Time will tell.
Yeah. Not the sheriff. Not the newly anointed sheriff. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Billy Hunsell. Taking a look at the overall picture, you know, it's different here regionally because Mendocino doesn't have some of the extra monies that Humboldt has. Trinity certainly doesn't. Del Norte doesn't either.
Right.
You kind of feel a little privileged?
You know, I do. I do feel privileged. Number one, that our good citizens passed Measure Z 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. That has been a huge shot in the arm for the sheriff's office, and we've really, really appreciated the extra funding and just expand the programs that we've been trying to do for years and trying to, you know, combat some of the issues that have been forced upon us. And so we're very, very happy with that. We have a very supportive board, and we have a lot of supportive public. You know, we have great support of the public.
Is that a challenge for the adjacent counties? I mean, just Mendocino and Humboldt aren't that different. Trinity and Humboldt aren't that different, nor is Del Norte and Humboldt.
So
The community support, is that something that's not as universal as a lot of us think?
Well, I think on the North Coast, I think generally people support the sheriff's offices up here and law enforcement in general. I really do. But I just feel sorry for like Trinity County. Trinity County has so much national forest and federal land that they have a hard time just meeting their budget. You know, and so they have very few resources. They have very few deputy sheriffs to cover that massive area. And
well, at least there's not a lot of roads to worry about.
Not a lot of roads, but you still have a lot of people that want to hide and still grow marijuana, right, and a lot of illegal activity out in the hills. And then, you know, Del Norte County is, you know, it is isolated, and there's not a lot economically going on there, just like Humboldt County. And so we have great sheriffs. You know, Sheriff Apperson of Del Norte County is a very strong leader and a very community minded sheriff, as well as Tom Allman to the south of Mendocino. And so those people, those sheriffs really are community focused. And I think that's where we are here at the sheriff's office. We really want to just remind people that we're a part of you and that we want to make things better with you. And it's not just, you know, we don't just want to temporarily fix a problem. We want to help, you know, we want to fix it long term. And so it's one of those things that we really want to stick with it. And that's why we're big on neighborhood watch and doing crime prevention.
Well, in the substations, I mean, it's really simple,
yeah,
conceptually, but to have somebody in the neighborhood, I would imagine it helps a lot of that stuff to happen the way you want it to.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have our deputies that are assigned to beats from 6 months to a year, which means they're not just rotating on a weekly basis. They are invested in here. They know they're not going to just temporarily take care of a problem. They're there to take care of it, you know, as long as possible and be a part of the solution.
They even weed the gutters, I understand.
At least get Roundup and spray.
Yeah.
Not around Arcata.
I didn't say they got their fingers dirty.
Yes.
No, that's my mode also.
All righty,
bud.
Sure.
Well, congratulations again.
Thanks, Brian.
That gives you another 4 years here, too.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh,
yes.
All right. Well, that's better than what I was hoping for. See everybody tomorrow.
See you later.